Good morning, everyone. You know, it's rather strange to see me up here. Let me just get this out of the way. First of all, this has nothing to do with April Fool's Day. Unless you've got me set up, Mike. I don't think it has anything to do with April Fool's Day. Most of you know our preacher Heath is holding a meeting in the state of Washington. And we normally have a group of capable men who fill in when he's gone. As for me, I'm a little bit out of my element here, but I think I'm among friends. So I look at your faces and I think that we're going to be okay. Just bear with me. I'm not exactly an eloquent speaker here, but I think the goal for anyone who stands up here is to present the truth in an understandable way. I want to put in a plug for this afternoon. Heath will still be gone, obviously. John Sellers will be bringing the afternoon lesson. Of course, he's an old pro at it. So we want to invite you back at our 3 o'clock afternoon worship. We'll be starting off in Romans chapter 13, if you want to prepare for that. I've got a few more opening comments. You may also be happy to know that, you know, when you don't do this very often, you're at home, you put the lesson together, you do the practice runs, you practice, you finally think you get a little bit okay. You have Sandy come in, of course, she can offer some advice. And but anyway, in all my practice runs, I've only come up with about a 20-minute sermon. So I can be blamed of a lot of things here, possibly, but not being a long-winded preacher, I think you're going to be happy in that regard. If you were to title the lesson, it would be The Christian, Politics, and Religion. I'm not breaking any new ground here. The Bible informs us plenty in regards to this subject. Many of you may remember the old saying. You don't hear it as much as you used to, but the old saying used to be, you don't talk politics, and you don't talk religion. It's just too much controversy. It's a hot-button topic. Well, I'm going to be doing both, talking politics and religion. I'm not exactly trying to stir things up here, but what prompted this subject was my personal observation over several years, actually, where I've seen and even sat in on some discussions, both politically and religious discussions. And at times, especially on the political end of it, things had gotten rather heated. Things had gotten rather ugly. And I kind of took note of that and thought, us brethren ought to be like that. Sometimes things would get a little bit out of hand. In times past, we've had members leave our congregation over political disagreement. It ought not be, but it happened, and I still have a hard time wrapping my head around that. We live in a world of politics and government where we see troublesome and counterproductive times, not only affecting the world and this country, but at times having a negative effect on the church. We can disagree without being disagreeable. There's rooms for opinions and judgments, especially where God allows opinions and judgments. There's no cause for being rude or divisive. Now, I've stated my case on why I'm bringing up this topic, but I do want to say this. I think we do handle ourselves well here at Knollwood. Even though I've seen some things in the past, we're a good group here. I'm very proud of you. And whenever there is disagreement, I think we do it in a loving and accepting way. So I'm not trying to make an issue here of we've got real big problems here. That's not my point. So as we all know, we do live in a time of political turmoil and corruption. But you also have to recognize the fact that it's been like that from the very beginning, at least since sin entered into the world. We've had turmoil and political unrest. The Jews, God's chosen, right smack in the middle of political unrest, slavery, and so forth. But we know they brought much of that upon themselves through disobedience. What about the times of Christ in the church? We had Roman occupation, political unrest, unjust circumstances everywhere. And yet Christians, they had a job to do. We need to remember that today. We have a job to do. I'm not a historian, and it's sometimes hard to compare different eras of time. But we know in the past, this country's had civil war and slavery issues, corruption of various types, and in some regards, some degrees of religious persecution. A lot of people came to this country, tried to avoid persecution, but in some ways, in some regards, it seemed to follow them. If I remember right, we even had politicians fighting with dueling pistols. Was that Burr and Hamilton? I didn't look that up. Was it? Okay. Got my history right on that. But hopefully we're a little more civilized now. And if you'd see my notes here, you'd see a big old dark question mark behind that, because whether we're more civilized now is probably a debatable subject. Finally, before we jump into Romans chapter 13, I want to tell you, I'm not promoting any political party. I don't read where God is a Republican or a Democrat, nor do you need me or anyone else doing political commentary from the pulpit, except to the extent to promote right as God would have it. I have my opinions. They're right. You have your opinions. You're wrong. But no, we all have our opinions. And lots of times God allows us to have our opinions, but let's make sure they harmonize with God's word. And don't forget, ultimately, God's in charge. He's the one's got to oversee all things, and his will's got to be done. So if you would, let's jump into Romans chapter 13 for our first reading. And I apologize right up front to Marilyn, because I'm going to be off with the glasses, on with the glasses, off with the glasses, and on with the glasses. I know that drives some people crazy, but Romans 13, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We see the teachings here, we're to be in subjection to governing authorities. They're appointed by God. To resist them is as if you're going to resist God himself. They're appointed to uphold law and order. I find it interesting there in verse 4, they do not bear the sword in vain. If you want to turn over to Acts chapter 25, Paul makes a comment regarding the sword and in vain. Acts 25:11, Paul speaking, he says, "For if I am an offender or have committed anything worthy of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Paul recognized the fact that some crimes are worthy of death. So, brethren, I believe we have the teachings here of capital punishment. Just not here, but some of these other verses we're going to be reading as we go along. Romans 13 and verses 6 and 7 goes on to talk about taxes. Remember how Jesus in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke so beautifully gave answer about taxes. He stated in Matthew 22, verses 17 through 21, starting in verse 17, "Tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. But these two verses, and along with some other teachings, we have a habit where it's very appropriate to pay taxes. Not only appropriate, but if that's the law, we're to do so. When considering the Christian politics and government, there's often two predominant schools of thought. There may be more, but there's two predominant schools of thought. Number one, government, there you go, Marilyn. Government and politics are so corrupt that we need to stay away from them. We need not involve ourselves. The second school of thought, which I believe the scriptures will bear out, is that government and its leaders are God-given. They're given to men. The fact that men corrupt and abuse doesn't change that fact. Society needs government. Society needs its leaders. Society needs its laws. Romans chapter 13 and some other verses we'll be looking at will point this out. I will say, just as a side note, isn't it so pitiful and sad, this great country of ours, that we so rarely have a true Christian as a political person that we could vote for? And it's sad but true. Moving on, if you would, let's consider 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, verses 1 through 3. Reads as follows. Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Once again, the teaching here is subjection and obedience to the rulers and authorities. Now, we all have to recognize the fact in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, we're told that we're to obey God, not man. So if and when there's ever a difference between God's laws and man's laws, obviously God wins out here. But otherwise, the laws of the land are to be obeyed. Continuing on in Titus chapter 3, move over and do some reading there. Titus 3, I'm going to start off reading verses 1 through 2. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Teaching, it pretty much harmonizes with everything else that we've been looking at. Continue on down to in Titus 3, let's look at verses 9 through 11. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Now, in this context, I believe they're talking about religious law, but I'm of the belief that this would be applicable in political debate or any debate at all, basically. We have to avoid foolish disputes, avoid divisive people, and that's what kind of brought this topic along for me in my head, some of the things I'd witnessed in years past. I'm not trying to discourage political debate or religious debate. But we need to remember, let's do so properly with love of God's word as a standard. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, I'd like to turn and do a little reading there. Let's consider verses 13 through 17, 1 Peter 2. Therefore, once again, the same old theme, beat goes on. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the kings as supreme or to governors as those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence ignorance of foolish man. as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but for servants of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. We need to submit, love, and honor. We talk about the ordinances. Ordinances would be the laws of men here. Honor kings and governors. Those would be our political leaders. Notice we're to honor all. We're to love our brethren, fear God, honor the king. Now, the thinking of you don't talk politics, you don't talk religion, it's too controversial. Well, I have seen in the past there can be a danger talking politics. But that doesn't mean we can't talk politics. But let's just do so properly. I'd like to kind of turn our attentions a little bit. Well, what about talking about religion? Well, we're Christians, folks. We know that saying is not right. God has appointed us to talk religion. We know it commonly known as evangelism. So the saying, we don't talk politics, you don't talk religion, is not true. I like an article I found in The Guardian of Truth. It was dated 2009 by our dear friend and brother, Randy Blackaby. He wrote, "Christian faith must dictate and direct our every thought and action. Therefore, it is difficult to argue that Christians should not use the American political system to vote." Here we have the political being considered. But he goes on to say, "We can and should try and influence for good, but the best way to change America is not the ballot box, but evangelism." Our buddy Randy recognized the fact that Romans 1, 16 through 17 teaches the gospel is a power unto salvation. I want us to consider a few practical applications here as we close this lesson out. I told you it was going to be rather short. So, but let's consider that, number one, we allow Scripture to always be our guide in all things, in everything. Politics and religion included. We need to obey the laws of the land unless they contradict with God's laws. We're to honor and respect our leaders. You know, the Bible teaches us we're to pray for our leaders. Let me ask, when's the last time you prayed for President Trump? You like him or dislike him, that's not the question. When's the last time you prayed for him? Or what about President Obama when he was in office? Did you pray for him at that time? Do you pray for your members of Congress or your local leaders? You should be doing that. It's the right thing to do. God wants us to do that. God wants us to have that attitude. We don't have to be in agreement with everything to offer up our prayers and well wishes to the individual, the leaders, and to this country. Makes a lot of sense. God says you want to live in peace? Follow your government. Obey your government. Obey your government leaders. Also, I want us to point out, even though we have a divided country in so many ways, political and in some way other ways, let's make sure we don't have a divided church. What a privilege it is to be an American citizen. We have men among us who have laid their lives down to protect this country and its freedoms, whether it be in the military or the police department. The Bruces just dropped Matt off this morning. He's on his way for training. He's going to be in some dangerous territory in the coming months. Let's pray that it all will go well with him. That it's a great privilege to be American. I would hope all of you would agree with that. That it's so inferior to being a citizen of the kingdom. So inferior. Let's have our priorities straight. The spiritual over the political. I mean, what's more important? The political over the physical. Let's have our priorities straight. And finally, evangelism. Just a verse that I really love in Acts chapter 17, verse 6. preaching Jesus is described as turning the world upside down. And how wonderful of a statement that is. What a compliment it was to those individuals. Turning the world upside down. Are we doing that? I hope that it's a goal of ours. I know we live in different times, but it's still the same as far as the need. So let's try to be turning the world upside down in our daily lives. So I told you this is going to be a rather short. It shows my inexperience, rather, but I guess we'd get to lunch a little early today. I want to wish everybody a happy Easter, not in a religious way, obviously, but even though it's April Fool's Day, it's also Easter, and got some pretty snazzed up dressing going on in some of this regard. So before we close this out, I want to thank you for your attention. And before we have our announcements and closing prayer, we want to offer up an invitation to anyone in need. Excuse me. Just as the Bible teaches us how to deal with politics and religion, it's also our guide on how to be saved. I want to appeal especially to two groups of people here today. Those who have never obeyed the gospel, and those who have done so, but they find themselves weak or in trouble at this time. The Bible teaches us if you're not a Christian, you need to believe. You need to believe God's word. You need to believe Jesus is who He is, the Savior. You need to repent. Brethren, as you well know, we all have sinned. Repentance is a recognizing of that. Basically, you stop doing wrong and you start doing right. Confess. You confess Christ Jesus. And be baptized. It's not to join a denomination or a man-made body. It's to be added to the church. Acts 2:47. Being baptized, it's not to be sprinkled or poured. The Bible teaches to be immersed. Baptism is not something you do after you're saved. It's something you do as the last step before becoming saved. It saves you, 1 Peter 3:21. And it's not an outward sign of an inward grace, as many religious bodies teach. It's obedience in baptism, contacting the blood, and it brings you newness of life. You rise up out of the waters of baptism, in a newness of life. This may be your only opportunity to obey. You may have death staring at you. You may have the end of the world. Who knows? This is your only guaranteed opportunity to be able to, for sure, be able to obey if you've not done so. Now, if we have brethren who are struggling with life right now, for whatever reason, if sin has entered in, weaknesses you're faced with, we all at times have our highs and lows. We just want you to know that we love you and we're here for you. If you do have sin, the Bible teaches you're to repent and pray for forgiveness. And it certainly could be helpful to have others praying with you. So we're going to wrap this up now, and we're going to have an invitation song. If anyone has a need, please consider it the most important thing you have to do in life and come forward as we stand and sing.